taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of King Midas and the infamous Midas touch, where everything he touched turned to gold. But then again, that ended up ruining his life. But my question really is, what happens when everything we touch turns to something other than gold? Turns to the exact opposite of gold. When whatever somebody touches something, that gets destroyed. How do we deal with that person, with that situation? Well, you see, that exists. That entity is called the federal government. It seems everything the federal government touches, it destroys. Maybe not instantly, but in a very short order, we watch it just crumble to dust. So the first question I have is, why do we let them keep touching things? Which leads to the second question. What can we do? How do we stop the federal government from coming in and destroying absolutely everything it touches? See, there is an answer to this. It takes a little bit of understanding of the actual powers of the federal government, the powers of the state governments, and the fact that neither government are actually listening to we the people. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Radio. My name is Paul Engel. I am so glad you could join me today as we are talking about the anti-Midas touch of the federal government. So let's start with an easy one, right? A nice hanging curveball right over the plate. A nice easy one to swing at. Remember that just 2 years ago, actually less than that, only about a year and a half ago, America was an energy exporter. We exported more energy than we imported. That lasted until about the time the current administration came in and started shutting things down. They started, if not suspending, they were denying or delaying leases to drill for oil on federal land. By the way, federal land, they're not legally allowed to own, but that's we'll talk about that later. They've put in all sorts of ways to keep us from actually producing more fossil fuel-based oil or energy because they have this brilliant idea that, oh, we're magically going to come up with, well, they call it renewable energy. Of course, they ignore the science, they ignore the facts, they ignore the evidence. So it really wasn't a surprise that, you know, pretty much as soon as Biden came into office, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Now, I'm not saying the Keystone Pipeline was the cause of this, of our current high energy prices. Neither will it be the fix, but it, to me, it is a symptom. You see, the Keystone Pipeline was being constructed to move oil from Canada, where it's being drilled, to refineries in the U.S. And they wanted to use a pipeline because it was the safest, most economic, or most, not just economically, environmentally friendly. It does the least damage to the environment, the least likelihood of spills and other damage to the environment. But you see, it continued to allow the use of fossil fuels, so it had to be stopped. So you have a president of the United States come in and simply says, no, we're going to kill the Keystone Pipeline. And of course, there wasn't any immediate problem, was there? Except now, when there are things. See, inflation's been going up. Energy prices were going up. By the way, they were going up before the Russians invaded Ukraine. That just made things worse. So now that that America has gone from an energy exporter to an energy importer, now when we have troubles with Russia, which is a significant energy oil exporter, now we realize, oh, by the way, it would have been really nice to actually have that that pipeline, but it's too late. And of course, when people point out and says, boy, don't we wish we still had, you know, maybe we should restart the pipeline. What are we told? Well, it'll take years for that to come online. And if we don't restart it, how are things going to get better? You see, in an effort to control the energy that the American people use, they shut down a pipeline that would have made access to oil to refineries easier, cheaper, and that would have an impact on world oil prices. By restricting and make it more difficult to look for more oil, by drilling test wells and things like that, we make it harder for America to produce oil. America went from an oil exporter to an oil importer. And now when oil is skyrocketing, not only do the American people have to pay these higher and higher prices for everything from gasoline to heating oil to electricity, we're not seeing the benefit. See, when the price of oil goes up, people who are in the oil industry make money. So it's kind of a double whammy. Here's the interesting thing. Take a look through your Constitution. If you listen to this program, I'm sure you have one available, readily available. Take a look at that. You know what you won't find? You won't find any power delegated to the United States to regulate energy policy. Now, the Congress can regulate interstate commerce. In other words, they can set the rules for to make sure that the commerce between the states and between the United States and Canada, that there are rules set. That's their job. They can make it regular. But you see, that's not what's being done. They're actually saying, no, we don't like energy policy. So our policies swing wildly from one side to the other based on which administration is in, because we have the executive setting policy rather than the representatives of the people, the one, and the representatives of the states, i.e. the House of Representatives and the senators. We let federal government touch it, it crumbles. Now, of course, not to let a political opportunity go to waste, there are groups of people who are accusing oil companies of not producing enough oil. Of course, many of these are the exact same people that said, you know what, we don't like the way you produce oil, so we're not going to let you produce oil. Yes, I'm talking about fracking. Now again, I'm not an oil engineer, I'm not a geologist, but from all the papers that I've read, fracking is merely the process of pumping water with a few minerals in it into the ground under pressure to break up the little pockets of oil so you can suck them up and pump them to the surface. There's been no, to my knowledge, credible studies that show fracking damages potable water. There's been a lot of hyperbolic talk about it, but there have been no, to my knowledge, credible studies that have found it to be damaging to the environment, damaging to water. But it does help produce oil in places where the oil isn't as readily available. You know, think of it like this. You get to the bottom of a milkshake and you move the straw around to pick up those last little bits. Well, it's kind of like that on a really large scale, right? Once you've dealt with the easy part, you have to go finding the other part. So that's kind of what it's talking about. But I find it interesting that the very same people in government who said, we don't want the Keystone Pipeline and we don't want fracking, we're going to ban fracking, are now complaining that the oil companies aren't producing enough oil. Isn't that rather like cutting the legs off of an athlete and then complaining they're not running fast enough? Again, we let government, because government involves politics. It's the nature of the beast. So here we have a situation where government, not entirely, but has contributed greatly, well, to higher energy prices. Not just gasoline prices, but let's take a look at the gasoline prices for just a minute. Between the time that Biden took office and the Russians invaded the Ukraine, I believe the national average for a gallon of gasoline went up $1.70. And of course, then since the invasion of Ukraine, it's been up about a dollar. So of course, people are complaining. Hey, I complained. I go to the store. I see $4 a gallon gas. I live in Middle Tennessee. This is nuts. This isn't California. This isn't New York City. So people are complaining. It's cost a lot. And of course, fuel prices, gasoline, diesel, those things, they impact so many other things. Because unless you happen to work from home, you're probably, or live in a large city, you're driving to get to work, which means you're spending more money just to get to work to earn money. And then, of course, pretty much everything you buy gets shipped at some point by ships, by trains, by planes, and by trucks, all of which consume fuel, which is now more expensive. So we have all of these things making life more and more miserable. Gee, it reminds you of the misery index back in the Carter years. Yes, I'm old enough to remember the Carter years. So, of course, now that mainly the federal government has helped made this mess, it's not all their fault, but they have done a lot to make this problem worse. What is their solution? By the way, I'm talking about the federal government. They're not the only ones. But so what is the White House? Again, we're not talking about Congress. Right? We're not talking about actually changing law because, well, see, that'd be constitutional. That'd at least be reasonable. It'd at least be trying to follow the Constitution. Nope. The White House. The White House is going to do things. What do they want to do? Well, they're talking about suspending the federal gasoline tax. Now, this course brings a couple things to mind. See, when I was learning to drive, gasoline went to just over $1 a gallon just as I got my driver's license. And I remember going to the gas station and they would have the price on top of the pump. Used to be a car that sat on top of the pump. And they would tell you the price that you paid, and then they would have, well, this is the price of the gasoline, and here's the federal tax, and here's the state tax, and here's the local tax. They list all the taxes. They don't do that anymore. So understand that for every gallon of gasoline you buy, 18.3 cents goes to the federal government in a gas tax. So they're saying, you know what? We'll suspend that. Well, isn't that kind of, doesn't that cause a problem? Because if you're not collecting the tax, but you're still spending the money the tax is being collected for, you're still asking the American people to pay for the price. You're saying we're gonna knock 18 cents a gallon off, but you're gonna pay more in interest rates, in income taxes, and all your other taxes because the federal government still has to come up with the money to pay for all the stuff they do. And if they don't have money from the gas tax, they got to come up with money somewhere else. Oh, but there's more. See, they want to start sending you gift cards. They want to bribe the American people with gift cards as long as the national price of unleaded gas is more than $4 a gallon. This is a flat-out bribe. They helped create the problem. Now they're going to, quote-unquote, fix the problem by buying you with your own money. And apparently the American people are cheap. Because if all it really takes is a gas card to cover your gasoline prices, well, that makes us a cheap date. And then, of course, you've got the National Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now, you need to understand, that fuel is there so that if we go to war, there is fuel to run our military. Our military requires oil. You think of all the gear that we have that runs on oil that's petroleum-based. We need that. That's what that is there for. But as usual, once you get government involved, everything becomes politics. So to make his party not look so bad, President Biden wants to release 1 million barrels of oil a day from the National Strategic Petroleum Reserve for the next 6 months. Wow. Sounds great, right? 1 million barrels of oil a day. You do realize that the United States consumes 17 million barrels of oil a day. Will it have an impact? Short term, yes. Short term, there will be an impact. Long-term, though, not only will it not have a long-term impact, even beyond the 6 months that he's talking about giving him the fuel, they're going to have to buy that oil back. How much you want to bet they buy it at a higher price than it was before? If they bought this oil when gas was, you know, when oil is $40 a barrel, are they going to have to replace it when it's $100 a barrel? Oh, just more of your money that the federal government is wasting. See, whenever the government touches something, it gets worse. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, a couple things I'd like you to know. One is, I am putting together my tour dates for 2022. I'm trying to get to the Northern Plains. I'd like to get out to the north, to the Pacific Northwest, maybe the West Coast, maybe up to the Northeast, maybe, you know, back down into the Florida, Georgia area. I'm looking for venues to come and speak to. So if you have something that you think you would like me to come talk to, be part of, or if you'd like to host an event, just contact me at the website, constitutionstudy.com. Also, you know, sometimes if you're like me, you get to the end of the day and you're kind of blah, right? You're having a hard time focusing. You're reading the same sentence over and over again. It's just not sticking. Well, I want you to try Healthy Cells Focus and Recall. In fact, I'm going to take one during the break. It helps boost your focus, help your long-term memory. And it's not a pill. It's a gel that's easy to take. And it doesn't have all the caffeine and sugar that energy shots and energy drinks have. So give that a try. Go to healthycell.com. You can try the Focus and Recall. And if you use a code out loud, they'll give you 20% off your first order. So try any of their products. Again, I'm talking today about Focus and Recall. Just make sure you use that code out loud at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and they'll give you 20% off your first order.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's healthycell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about the anti-Midas touch of the federal government. Again, another area we talked in the first segment about the oil situation, the oil crisis. And again, it's not that the federal government is the sole actor, that everything is their fault, but it just seems like everything they touch turns to garbage. A perfect example has been the last year, actually the last 2 years. The way the federal government has handled this COVID scare has been a disaster, has literally made things work. Now, this isn't just the federal government, right? Because when COVID first showed up, we started with the state and local governments throwing down these lockdowns and shutdowns. And then, of course, you know, the federal government had to get involved with the one thing I like that the federal government did is they said, let's get some of the red tape out of the way of coming up with a vaccine. But even that, they screwed up. Because what did they do? They put the FDA and the CDC, the people that are supposed to be watchdogs over this process, They made them sponsors of the process. They gave them this incredible conflict of interest. And ever since, what have we seen? It's take the jab, take the jab, take the jab. Ignore ivermectin, ignore hydroxychloroquine, ignore zinc, ignore studies that don't agree. You know, Fauci is the science. Push the vaccines. And then it was two shots. Then it was three and it's four. And well, recently, the infamous Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, decided that they were going to authorize a second dose of the Pfizer booster. There's just one little problem. See, they just kind of bypassed all of their own rules, all their own processes to do this. They actually bypassed the panel whose job it is to advise them on this. You see, the FDA has what's called the Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. They're there to advise. Yet the FDA just completely bypassed it and authorized the now fourth shot of Pfizer without even looking at the data. We have reports that even ignoring the limitations on VAERS, the fact that I've heard it records only one in 10 actual deaths or injuries, we're still seeing thousands of deaths that, if not directly related to vaccination, at least are correlated with it. We have the same government that's been telling us for years that, or for the last 2 years, that we have to do shots and masks and lockdowns, ignoring the fact that the death rate never exceeded 1.6%, and almost all of them were elderly or ill. That at least 75% of what are referred to as COVID deaths are people who had four or more comorbidities, four or more other things to die from. Yet, we're still dealing with this nonsense. We're still listening to the FDA, which has shown themselves to be, if not completely unqualified, their processes are corrupt. We went looking to the federal government and said, federal government, you tell us when something is safe. And we just kind of assumed that, well, you know, once you get a government paycheck, you're pure as a wind-driven snow. There's no corruption in Washington, D.C. There are no human fallibilities for people who work in Washington, D.C. And we've watched the system destroy not just liberty in America, destroy people's lives. The reports of people who have been killed, not from COVID, but from the malpractice that is the officially approved treatment of COVID. You have reports of patients waiting for life-saving treatment being denied because they refuse to be a medical experiment. We watch while our military loses service member after service member because they don't want to be a medical guinea pig. And while I can't lay all the blame at the feet of governments, the federal governments, the state governments, city governments, there certainly is plenty of blame there to go around. And you are now being told, oh, guess what? Expect a new round of mask mandates, lockdowns, and even more pressure for you to participate in a medical experiment without your consent. Now, surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly, there is one thing the federal government is tasked with doing. Article 1, Section 8 says Congress can establish post offices and post roads. That's right, deliver the mail. Now, sure, there are challenges and there are issues, but you'd think something nice and simple like delivering the mail would be something the federal government could do. And it did a pretty decent job for many, 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 many years. But a very sad and twisted development has been showing up in the U.S. Postal Service. I was skeptical when the federal government spun it off as kind of this quasi-non-governmental corporation, whatever it is. But we have the U.S. Postal Service. But then, what does delivering the mail have to do with an internet covert operations program? Yeah, the United States Postal Service has an Internet Covert Operations Program. They call it ICOP. What does delivering the mail have to do with spying on people's internet activity? Now, that should have been clue one that something seriously wrong is going on. Then we find out that the Postal Service is using more and more controversial technology, such as facial recognition, fake profiles, and social media scrapes to search about you. See, they're searching for constitutionally protected activities, like protests. What does this have to do with delivering the mail? And in fact, there was a recent audit by the U.S. Postal Service Inspector General. And believe it or not, the Inspector General said, oh yeah, none of this was legal to begin with. But yet it's still going on. You see, it seems that there's nothing the federal government can't use to spy on their people as a way to try and get around the Constitution to spy on us. Now, I was reading an article in Town Hall, and they blame it on congressional laziness. Yeah, all right, I'll give them some points for that. Congress seems much more interested in naming post offices and actually overseeing post offices. Much more interested in regulating the post office out of business than actually overseeing it and making sure that we have post offices and post roads. But I don't lay the blame solely at the feet of Congress. But you see, everybody in Congress was elected by we the people. The House of Representatives exists to represent the people. The Senate exists to represent the states. Every one of those offices is filled by an election where we the people are supposed to express our consent to hire these people to do this job. Congress is lazy because we allow them to. As President Garfield said, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. Well, to paraphrase for Town Hall, if Congress is lazy, it's because the people tolerate laziness. They tolerate the political infighting. They tolerate the time and money wasted on items that have nothing to do with the powers of Congress. But we sit by it while Congress continues to fund an organization that's illegally spying on you. And you may be sitting there going, well, Paul, you know, I don't have anything to hide. I don't have anything to worry about. But do you have anything to protect? Because think about it. If Congress can spy, if they can collect any information they want, if the Postal Service, if any government can simply collect any information on you that they think is relevant, how long before they can twist that into something they think is criminal? Oh, you mean like spreading misinformation? How long before what the Postal Service is scraping up gets turned over to have you shut down off of social media? How long before it's used to determine a social credit score like they have in China? Before your services are dependent on your willingness to support the current regime's preferred pronoun or policy? The reason this has been the land of the free is because government was kept out of our lives as much as possible. If we don't have the liberty to live our lives as we see fit, this is no longer the land of the free. Now, in another example of how, well, let's just say the federal government is good at screwing things up. In a recent press briefing, Jen Psaki confirmed that, well, the Biden administration is making plans to give away smartphones. Now, again, there's nothing in the Constitution about the federal government giving away goodies. Of course, that's yet to stop them. And this isn't even the first time that the federal government has given away phones. Nope. No, it appears that the Biden administration wants to give smartphones to people who come to this country illegally. I mean, is this like some twisted Oprah program? And you'll get a smartphone, and you'll get a smartphone. All you have to do is break the law to come into this country, and we'll give you a smartphone. Really? You can't be bothered to enforce the laws that Congress has passed and have been sidebanned present to control who comes into our country. But you can be bothered to organize a cell phone giveaway to the people who are breaking our laws. And if people wonder why we have more and more people breaking the laws to come into this country. I mean, it's almost like the federal government is going out of its way to screw things up so that they can give away goodies to buy votes. Now listen, where have I heard that one before? Oh, yes, Alexis de Tocqueville saying the country will exist no Congress figures out it can bribe the people with their own money. Apparently, it's not just Congress. Apparently, it's the executive branch as well. Another perfect example of the government touches it and the government screws it up. The anti-Midas touch. And of course, people frequently ask, well, what can we do, Paul? What can we do? We can't change Washington. Well, yeah, you can. And we have to start by recognizing Washington is our fault. We, the people, hire the people in Congress. We tell the states who to hire for president. They're the ones that put people on the courts. They're the ones that hire the people in the executive branch. They're the ones that fund them. They're the ones that are either creating the rules or not enforcing the rules. Washington is our fault. Until we recognize that basic fact, you're right, we can't fix this. We can't change Washington. But there's more. You see, I've done in my research, I've noticed that, as Madison put it, the powers of the federal government are few and defined. The powers of the states are numerous and undefined. See, the nation was created where the most power was closest to the people. The farther you got away from the people, the less and less power they were to have. But you see, we don't know that. We don't realize that because we don't read and study the Constitution. Even in law schools, they don't study the Constitution. I've asked lawyers for years, when you were in law school, did you study the Constitution or constitutional law? All but one said they studied constitutional law. They studied judges' opinions about what the Constitution should say in their opinion. And that's the problem. See, while many Americans will recognize there is a problem, it's been my experience that relatively few can understand where the root of that problem is. It's why I created the Constitution Study, with the idea that the American people can read and study the Constitution on our own. You don't need a fancy school. You don't need a fancy law degree. In fact, fancy law degrees makes it harder. That just the way some of us study the Bible, we can get together and study the Constitution. Heck, if an 18th century farmer can understand it, why can't a 21st century American? But these are all more examples of why the government, especially the federal government, makes such a mess of things. It's not designed to deal with those problems. See, the vast majority of what we've been talking about so far today are areas the federal government is not supposed to have its fingers in the first place. It's rather like expecting the butcher to do brain surgery. They might have the skills, but they don't have the training to do it well and to do it properly. And the fact that we hire them just, as I said, makes it our fault. Now, if you tried reading and studying the Constitution in the past and it just hasn't worked, well, I have something I'd like you to try. Go to constitutionstudy.com/study. See, I'm doing an online Constitution study. We meet on Zoom every other week. We're reading the Constitution. We're discussing it. We're debating it. I don't know about everybody else. I'm having a grand old time doing this. And it truly has been fun. And you can try it absolutely free. So if you go to constitutionstudy.com/study, you can study the first three lessons, the first three studies we did on the Bill of Rights, absolutely free. It's all there. Just go to that website and check it out. If you want to do more, then you can consider either joining the Constitution Scholars and becoming part of that, or purchasing the class, whichever works best for you. But give it a try. I think you'll like it, and I think it'll encourage you that, yes, you too can read and study the Constitution. And trust me, it's kind of fun to know more than the lawyers on some of these things. I also want to remind you that you can listen to the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday. We're heard on the iHeartRadio Network, and you can listen to our world-class players on our apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can find us on the show page on AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find the podcast on your favorite podcast provider. But I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. See, whether you're listening live or you're listening to a recording, share these messages. Send them to friends and family. Post them on social media. Help other people find out that the Constitution isn't something to be afraid of. It actually is the way we can restore freedom and liberty to the Republic. You can become part of the solution, both by reading and studying, and by sharing what you learn. As John Jay said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country, teach the rising generation to be free.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down, you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. We're talking about the anti-Midas touch. The fact that it seems like pretty much everything government, especially the federal government, touches turns to garbage. We've talked about gas prices. We've talked about the pulses. We talked about so many things. One of the things we haven't talked about yet is inflation. Now, I want to start out by pointing out that the inflation numbers are gimmicked. You have what's called the producer price index, and you have the consumer price index. And you've got all these different ways of measuring it. They would like to hide the quote-unquote more volatile stuff. You know, the stuff you actually paid for that costs more. But even this, what they call the personal consumption expenditures index, just another way to prove that there are lies, darn lies, and statistics. It's up to a 40-year high. Prices are insane. Now, of course, it's never the government's fault for what they do for this, but let's face it. This country has been on a spending high for decades. I remember when people freaked out that the national debt passed $1 trillion. Now we're over $30 trillion. We spent decades suppressing the markets, trying to keep the interest rates down, and then all of a sudden, boom, things start exploding. See, the problem is again, you have in many cases, the federal government and the Federal Reserve trying to micromanage an economy. It's never really worked. The closest you come to is the Chinese economy, but even they gave up on micromanaging the economy, realizing it just doesn't work. So when you go to the store and you see that everything's more expensive, understand that in large part, it's because of government policies. About 10 years ago, I saw this interesting article, and what they did was they were comparing the price of homes in dollars to the price of homes in gold. They came up with what they called the, you know, national average home price. And they tracked it over the years, and they showed how, well, you know, home prices go up. It's one of the reasons why people invest in real estate, right? Because home prices almost always go up over time. What they didn't show you, what they don't tell you unless you go look for it, is that same house costs about the exact same amount of gold. The difference was minimal. Because you've allowed government to come in and mess with the price of goods. Sometimes they do it directly through taxation and fees. Other times they do it through regulation. Sometimes they just do it by manipulating the economy, manipulating our monetary policies. Not realizing that, again, it's going to make a mess. And sooner or later, it's always the American taxpayer, the American citizen, that takes it in the teeth. See, if you remember the housing crisis, which, you know, wasn't all that long ago, everyone loved to blame the banks. No one paid attention to the fact that the banks were only doing what the federal government was incenting them to do, and that is create a lot of risky loans, then find ways to get those loans off your books so that you don't take it in the teeth when people stop paying their mortgages. Many of these policies, again, are being driven in large part by federal government. Now, I'll grant that the majority of them are not trying to make a mess of things. They just never seem to learn the lesson that when you micromanage an economy on this scale, it's never going to work. That, believe it or not, millions of Americans making individual decisions are much better off than having a small group of quote-unquote experts tell them how they should be doing things. And believe it or not, one of the most destructive things that comes from government having its fingers into everything, but the federal government putting its fingers into everything, is the expectation that the federal government, that Washington, D.C., is both the source of all power and the solution to all of your problems. Well, take, for example, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's the world's largest business organization. And they're really upset about the level of retail theft that is going on in many of our cities. Now, it's going on because the district attorneys in these cities are refusing to prosecute property crime, or at least certain property crimes. Things they say are less important than other types of crime. So what does the U.S. Chamber of Commerce do? Does it recognize that it is city governments, maybe state governments, that are leading to this problem of retail theft in their member stores? Do they go to the cities and states and demand they enforce the laws? Do they come up with ways of punishing these district attorneys that are refusing to enforce the law? No. No, what they do is they send a letter to Congress seeking to pass legislation to stop the resale of stolen goods. Now, if you wonder why I'm laughing, it's to keep from crying. Because first of all, it is not Congress's job. The United States is not authorized to deal with stolen goods. We're not talking about interstate commerce here. But because we have focused everything on Washington, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, rather than dealing with the actual problem, is they're looking for Congress to write another law, another unconstitutional law, to enforce a rule that is not authorized by the Constitution, and somehow expect that that's going to make things better. Based on what history? Sure, the Chamber of Commerce quotes a recent survey that says that 54% of small business owners are experiencing an increase in shoplifting. But that's not Washington's fault. And the lack of prosecution is not Washington's fault. These are not federal crimes. But we destroy the republic when we put all of our focus on Washington, D.C. It is literally what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is doing. Is literally the magician's trick. Now, I don't know if they intend to do this or not, but rather than focusing on where the real problem is, prosecutors and district attorneys that are unwilling to fulfill their oath to prosecute the crimes in their jurisdictions, no, they want you looking at Washington. Look over there, folks. Pay no attention to the DAs. Pay no attention to the governors, to the mayors that have let riots run rampant through the streets and refuse to allow the police to enforce that. Pay no attention to that. Pay no attention to cities like San Francisco, where the DA refuses, what was it, $800? You can steal up to $800 without being prosecuted? Pay no attention to that. Let's let Washington put their anti-Midas fingers into this and just make things worse. This is what happens. This is what I mean by the anti-Midas touch. Not only does Washington destroy almost everything it touches, but it's been turned into the place everybody looks to and says, you go put your fingers in. We're literally, the Chamber of Commerce is literally begging Washington to make things worse. So what do we do? What can we do? Well, Florida has filed a lawsuit dealing with mask mandates on public transportation. Now, I've pointed this out before. Mask mandates are a violation of the Constitution. They are depriving you of both your liberty, your ability to live your life as you see fit without government interference, and the property you have in controlling your body, and they do so without due process of law. Now, there are plenty of state and local mask mandates. We've dealt with them. But here we're dealing with the mandate that you wear a mask on public transportation. There is zero evidence it's effective. It is provably unconstitutional. It is illegal. And according to both the Supreme Court and Alexander Hamilton, it is void. It is empty. It is meaningless. So Florida sues. Okay, they're asking the federal courts to give them their opinion on this. And something like 20 states have joined the suit. But I think these states are missing one very important point. They're begging the federal government to protect them from the federal government. You see, the federal courts are a creation of the same constitution as the president and Congress. You're begging the federal government to protect you from the bad actions of the federal government. And even if the courts were to say, you know, yeah, they're unconstitutional, the courts can't force the executive branch. One branch cannot force another branch to do something. So really, you're just asking for a piece of paper going, please, sir, will you protect me from the Mr. Bad President? I have a much better idea. You want to sue to get the federal court's input? Fine. How about you say, no, this is Florida. We created you, federal government, not the other way around. We determine your role, not the other way around. We did not authorize you to institute mask mandates on public transportation. Not intrastate, not interstate. Interstate transportation is not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, this is all empty, this is void, this is meaningless. We will simply ignore it. And oh, by the way, if you send your agents to come enforce it in our state, we will arrest them and try them, if not under state law, how about under federal law? A violation of Title 18, Section 242 of the United States Code, deprivation of rights under color of law. How about instead of begging the federal government for protection from the federal government, how about you grow a spine, stand up and just say, no, we will not comply. Well, let's face it. Politicians aren't going to do that because they don't believe the American people will back them. Even in a state like Florida, I doubt Governor DeSantis believes the people of his state would back him if he simply said, no, you will not exercise a mask mandate within the borders of this state. If you do, you will be charged and tried. How many do you think the people of Florida would actually stand up to that? stand up for that, would actually stand behind him when he's further pilloried in the media. He's going to get pilloried in the media no matter what he does. When the federal court's going, well, you know, I don't care. You're a creation of the Constitution that only exists because the states approve it. Too bad. The people won't do that, in large part because the people don't realize that the states have that authority. That separation of powers is not simply between the three branches of the federal government. That the 10th Amendment specifically states that if a power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, it either rests with the states or with the people. Therefore, every time the federal government exercises a power not delegated to it, it is most likely stealing it from the states. And if not from the states, from the people. But we don't, because most Americans don't know. Because we haven't read the Constitution, we haven't studied the Constitution, we've allowed people who have a vested interest in manipulating the meaning of the Constitution to define what the Constitution is in direct violation to the Constitution itself. Nor in the Constitution is the United States given the authority to reinterpret the Constitution, to determine what it does and does not mean. It's not in there. This is the importance of studying the Constitution. This is the importance of reading it, of being familiar with it, of learning how to apply it to your life today. See, if we want the federal government to stop using its anti-Midas touch to destroy everything it encounters, we have to start by realizing the limits on the federal government. We have to recognize that our country was designed so that we would be most engaged locally. That if locally we're protecting our rights, then our states and the United States will naturally take care of themselves, or at least be more likely to. It's why our focus here is to help people read and study, to realize this plain language of the Constitution, because it's not taught in schools, it's not even taught in law schools. And it is probably one of the few things that could lead us out of this tyranny without involving bloodshed. Now, there are a lot of people out there who don't believe we can get our rights and liberties back without resorting to bloodshed. I am not one of them. I believe we must fight this battle at the ballot box rather than on the battlefield. That we must do it so by holding our elected officials accountable to their oath of office, so that our children and our children's children aren't forced to fight them on the battlefield, to resort to bloodshed to regain their rights. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be quick, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but the answer is fairly simple. We need to read and study the Constitution. Now, if you want to help, in addition to supporting the Constitution Study, which you can at constitutionstudy.com, check out 917 Society, 917society.org. They're trying to put a Constitution in the hands of every eighth grader in the country every year and give their teachers the tools they need to help teach the Constitution. If our curriculum, our states are buying, won't do it, well, then you can help. That's 917society.org. You can also help, as I said, by supporting the Constitution Study, by having me come out and speak, teach on it. Maybe you have a subject you'd like me to come speak and teach on. I'd be happy to see if we can arrange that. Again, you can find out more at constitutionstudy.com. Now, however you go about doing it, however you engage, whatever product lights your heart and gets you up in the morning, whatever project you think will get you moving, I ask you to found it on the actual language of the Constitution. Whether you take a few minutes a day to read it, or whether you sit down and study it in detail, let's make the foundation the supreme law of the land. Let us use that to help restore freedom and liberty to our country. One of the ways you can help is by sharing these episodes, whether they're on podcast or off the show page, or just let other people know about the Constitution Study. Let's help spread the blessings of liberty. While you're at it, Why don't you make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for news and happenings? Help us all do our part by sharing the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and the videos that you find there. We don't want this country to crumble into despotism. That we're going to have to do the work to keep it healthy and to keep it strong. And that starts by getting the news, getting the information, and then sharing it so that we can help secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail.